Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41 will be our text for this morning. This is the word of the Lord. Congregation, please give it your full attention. On that day, when evening came, he said to them, "Let's go over to the other side." After dismissing the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a fierce gale of wind developed, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling with water. And yet Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" May God have a blessing to the reading of his word, saints. You can be seated. There are some stories in the Bible, church, that you just wish you had a front row seat to watch. There's just some stories in the Bible that you wish you had at least a 10-second clip of. We don't have to search the scriptures long and hard to find out which scenes we would like. Just pick any scene in the life of Christ. I mean, wouldn't it be nice to be there when Jesus speaks to that tomb, and out of that tomb, a man that's been dead for over 4 days comes out? Lazarus. Wouldn't it have been something to see Jesus feeding 5,000 with just the little that he had? What about, saints of God? What about seeing Jesus die on that hill? There's much we can say. All the miracles Christ did, we would love to see. All the teachings that he spoke, we would have loved to heard. But saints of God, this morning I present to you a story that is at the top of at least my list of things I wish I saw. I wish I was there. It's this story here of Jesus calming the sea. Much has happened before we get to Mark chapter 4. Jesus is baptized. He heals a man who was unable to walk. He heals a man's hand on the Sabbath. He chooses the rest of the 12. He spent all day, as we get to chapter 4, preaching. Teaches a number of parables. As we get to verse 35 of our text, we see something of the human side of Christ. I know something about preaching, but I don't know what it feels like to preach all day. Jesus preaches all day. And as we get to verse 35, he's tired. Saints of God, already this is preaching to you. It's okay to be tired. It's okay to need to take a break. But saints of God, as ironic as that even sounds, Jesus doesn't really take a break from teaching. Yes, he's taught the crowds many parables, but now, saints of God, he needs to teach his disciples something. He needs to teach his disciples something that they're going to need with them along their journey with Christ. Just as, saints of God, Jesus today is going to teach you something that you're going to need along your journey to heaven. Saints of God, we read in verse 35 and 36, on that day when evening came, he said to them, let's go over to the other side. After dismissing the crowd, they took with him, along with them in the boat, just as he was, the other boats were with him. The crowds wanted Jesus. And Jesus was kind of sick and tired of them. He needed a little break. So he says, let's go over to the other side. Here at church, we already learned something about the Christian life. And it's that not all storms are the result of sin. Saints of God, not all storms are the result of the bad decisions that you have made in life. We might think that. That what I did 5 years ago is now catching up to me now. The decision that I made 2 weeks ago, I'm now paying for right now. I am now reaping what I sowed. But what we learn from this text is that some sins, or rather some storms, they come just by your sheer act of obedience. That some storms come by you obeying God. That some storms come by you just being a Christian. This is what we see in the disciples. Jesus says, let's go over to the other side. And they say, okay, let me get the bags. Let me get the boat running. Let's go over to the other side. They obey the command of their master. But church, I wonder this as I was studying. I had a lot of questions while I was studying. This is the first question. If these disciples knew what was awaiting them on that water, if these disciples knew what was awaiting them on that sea, my question to the disciples is this. Would they have gotten into the boat? If they knew what was awaiting them on that sea, would they would have said to Jesus, oh, I'll get the boat running and I'll get the bags packed. Let me ask you, church, you already know the story. If you knew that you were going to be caught in a violent storm that threatened to take your life, would have you gotten on the boat? What have you would have done, saints of God? Let me ask you a deeper question. Since you believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, how has your life been? How has your life been thus far? Since you made the decision to believe upon the Lord. Since you made the choice to follow Jesus, how has your life been? Has your life been perfect? Have all of your problems seemed to all go away? Have all storms ceased to come your way? Saints of God, has being a Christian this far, or rather thus far, has it been all that you thought it would be? Church, I can only speak for myself. Since believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ, I've had some bad days. I've had some hills to climb. Saints of God, I've had some sick days. I've had some lonely nights. I've cried tears from time to time. Saints of God, I've had friends come and I've seen friends go. There have been people who have talked about me behind my back. Saints of God, I've been through some stuff. And Church of God, if you've had the same experiences, and if you have said, Pastor, I know what you mean, and I know what you feel, and I've been through the same thing. If you've been through some mess, and if you've been through some storms, given all that you've been through since you followed Jesus Christ and made that decision, let me ask you, would you still choose Christ? Given all that you have been through, would you still choose Jesus? Despite all the hurt, some of the pain, some of the lonely nights, some of the tears, would you still say, yes, you are worthy, Christ, of me following? Again, church, I can only speak for myself. And the answer that I leave to you and give to you comes from one of my favorite church songs. I've had some good days. I've had some hills to climb. I've had some weary days. I've had some sleepless nights, but when I look around and when I think things over, all of my good days, they outweigh my bad days. So I won't complain. Saints of God, this is my favorite part of the song. The Lord has been so good to me. Jesus has been so good to me. More than this old world could ever be. And he dried my tears away. And he turned my midnights into day. So I gotta say thank you, Lord. In spite of all that I've been through, I won't complain. Saints of God, is that not the great summary of our Christian experience thus far? I won't complain. I won't complain. I can't complain. Yes, the Christian life hasn't been easy, but I won't complain. Yes, I may have cost me some friends, but I won't complain. I may have had to say goodbye to those sins that I loved, but I won't complain. There have been days when I thought I wouldn't make it, but I won't complain. Oh, saints of God, can you echo the words of St. Paul in Philippians 3? But whatever gain I had, I count as loss for the sake of Christ. Amen. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Amen. Saints of God, let me ask you a question. Since you made the decision of following Christ, has it been worth it thus far? Has it been worth it? Surely it has. Amen. Is Jesus Christ and you choosing him still the best decision you have ever made? Yes. Surely it is. Surely it is, saints of God. And as we come to our text, verse 37 says, and a wind began to build. The waves were breaking over the boat and water begins to fill the boat. Saints of God, if you think about this verse long enough, you can picture it in your head. You can see the wind getting stronger. You can see the waves beginning to rock the boat back and forth. You can see water slowly beginning to fill the boat. You've seen Titanic. You know what it's like or what it looks like for a boat to begin to go down. Let me ask you, saints of God, what would you do in this situation? What would you think? What would you feel in this situation? Church, can I be honest with you for a second? You know, one of my greatest fears in life is roller coasters. In fact, if there is any fear in life that I have, at the very top of the list, there are roller coasters. In fact, every time I pass by Magic Mountain, I look at disgust at all those who are riding those torture. I don't understand, saints of God, how one enjoys going 85 miles an hour. I don't understand, saints of God, how one loves the thrill of going up 180 feet in the air only to drop back down. Saints of God, I don't understand the thrill. I don't understand the excitement. I do understand the screams and I do understand the cries. But I don't understand the excitement and the thrill and the happiness that one receives when going on a roller coaster. So last time I was at Disneyland, I said to myself, I'm going on a roller coaster. I'm going to face my fears. So I went on a roller coaster. And boy, it was fast. And boy, it had a loop. And yes, it had a drop. But saints of God, there are three things I learned about roller coasters that day. There are three things. The first is roller coasters are controlled by someone. Meaning, saints of God, there's one who can make it stop, and there are those who can make it go. The second thing is the people who have constructed the roller coaster have designed it in such a way to where you can go over 80 miles an hour and not fall off. That's the second thing. And the third thing that I learned, which is probably the best thing that I learned, is this. That every roller coaster has a time limit. That every roller coaster has a time limit. Church, I don't tell you this story and tell you these things in order to ease your maybe fears of a roller coaster. I don't tell you this story in order for you to, after church, go buy yourself some tickets to Magic Mountain in Disneyland. I didn't tell you that story for that, church, but rather, this is how we are to view storms in our life. This is how we are to view the storms that come our way. You know, saints, every storm is not random. Every storm is not self-willed or self-caused. But each and every storm is controlled by the Lord. Each and every storm is controlled by the Lord, which means, church, if God is controlling the storm, He can do with the storm whatever He wants. He can make the storm get easier. He can make the storm get harder. And here's the great news, church. He can even make the storm stop. God controls the storm. And saints of God, here's the good news, is that when you're in a storm, you ain't got to be worried, because God's in control. God's in control of the storm. You remember, church, what God said in Isaiah 45:7, I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord who does these things. The saints of God, many read this verse and they see it as a problem verse in the Bible. But saints of God, this is not a problem verse in the Bible. This is actually a point of praise. This is not a problem, saints of God. This is where you throw up your hands and you say, Amen, God. Because this verse teaches us that nothing is random. Amen. That nothing in this life comes into being in and of itself. Amen. But saints of God, everything not only comes from God, but also everything is controlled by God. Amen. And church, I don't know about you, but I'd rather be in a storm that's controlled by God Amen. Than be in a storm that's controlled by someone else. Amen. God is in control, saints. But saints of God, not only do we know that God is in control of a storm, but also God keeps us safe in a storm. God keeps us safe in a storm. Meaning, church, if the makers of a roller coaster are smart enough to make a seat where you can't fly out, then saints of God, surely the God who made the heavens and the earth, surely the God who made the entire universe, surely the God who made you and I, can keep you from falling off the boat when you're in a storm. Amen. David says in Psalm 138, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. Church, I know from firsthand experience, your pastor, and I learned it from him, Pastor Antonio, knows from firsthand experience that when you're at the beach, and if you go too far out in the water, then you're now in the hands of the sea. Saints of God, I don't know who needs to hear this, but if you ever go to the beach, don't go too far out. If you go too far out, you are now in the arms and the hands and the whole being of the sea. Meaning the water can do with you whatever it wants. It can take you out. It can take you left. It can take you right. It controls you. But church of God, I came here to tell you today that there will never be a storm. Or if you ever feel like you're in the hands of the water, even if you go out too far, you're still in the hands of your Heavenly Father. Amen. Saints of God, you will never go out too far to where the Lord is not keeping you, preserving you, and holding you tight. Amen. And lastly, church, you got to know, and here's the great news, that every storm doesn't last forever. Amen. That every storm Amen. Doesn't last forever. Meaning, saints of God, just as there's a time limit, and praise the Lord, in each and every roller coaster, there is a time limit in every storm. Yes. Saints of God, when you're in a storm, yes. sometimes you got to encourage yourself. Amen. When you're in a storm, sometimes, saints of God, you got to speak to yourself a word. Amen. Sometimes, saints of God, you got to remind yourself that one day God is going to still the waters. Yes. You got to remind yourself that one day God is going to calm the waves. That the day is coming. And it may not be today. It may not be tomorrow. But the day is coming when my boat will cease Amen. From rocking. Amen. Saints of God, because God put a time limit on every storm. Amen. Every storm, saints of God, won't last forever.
That's right.
Your storms won't last forever. But they will come to an end. And this is why, church, we are not to be afraid. We are not to worry about any storms that come our way.
This is why, saints of God, we are not to fear when the waters begin to fill our boat, but we say like David in Psalm 31, but I trust in you, O Lord. I say you are my God, and here's my favorite part. My times are in your hand. Verse 37, we see the wind picking up speed. The waves are beginning to get violent. The waters are filling the boat. And while the disciples are seeing all of this take place and there's many questions that are going on in their head, where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? What is Jesus doing? Verse 38, and yet Jesus himself was in the stern. And I don't know if they just said this to say this, just to make Jesus look more comfortable than he might have been. But it says, asleep on the cushion. Oh, he was good. He was in a good sleep. He was in a real good sleep. He was in one of those sleeps where when you wake him, you get so mad that they wake you. Real, real good sleep. You know, church, you might say to yourself, how is it possible to sleep through a storm? You know, it is possible to sleep through a storm. You do know that, right? I've driven through the Grapevine many times. I've driven through the Grapevine through some pretty hard rain, maybe some black ice, some wind that I thought was going to blow our Mazda away, all while everyone in the car is asleep. And when they wake up, they say, what happened? When their daddy was having a nervous breakdown when going through the Grapevine. So it is possible, saints of God, to sleep through a storm. And this is what we see with Jesus. Jesus is in the back, knocked out. Jesus is in the back when the waves are rocking the boat, when the water is filling the boat. Jesus is having a good dream. Much has been made of this picture of Jesus. Much heresy has been said concerning this picture of Jesus. Probably the main question is this. If Jesus is God, then why is he sleeping? If Jesus is truly God, then he can't be truly sleeping. Saints of God, that is a question we can look at in detail on another day. But saints of God, I want to look at this verse and this picture of Jesus as a Christian. Not as a skeptic, not as a critic, not as someone that's trying to refute the true humanity of Jesus Christ. Because I say this, saints of God, I appreciate this picture of Jesus. No, I need this picture of Jesus. You need this picture of Jesus. Because church, this picture of Jesus, it asks us a question. You know, the Bible does that. You're studying, you're asking the Bible questions, the Bible is asking you questions. You're reading the Bible is actually reading you. This picture of Jesus asks you a question. You want to know what that question is, saints of God, it's asking you? The question is this. Through a storm, if Jesus is asleep, then why are you awake? That's the question. When in a storm, if Jesus is asleep, then why, Christian, are you awake? Saints of God, if Jesus is not tripping in a storm, then why are you tripping in a storm? Saints of God, if Jesus is calm, cool, and collected when the boat begins to rock, when the waters begin to fill, then why are you stressing? What are you worried about if your master is not worried? Oh, saints of God, we all say we want to be like Jesus. Don't we all say that? We want to love like Jesus. We want to show mercy like Jesus. Show compassion like Jesus. But saints of God, what about not worrying like Jesus? What about not tripping like Jesus? What about not fearing when fear begins to set in like Jesus? What about staying calm, cool, and collected when the pressures of life begin to mount like Jesus? What about being asleep when everyone around you is going crazy like Jesus? Saint of God, what are you worried about? What trials and what storms in the world are you worried about? When Jesus already said in John 16, but take heart, I've overcome the world. What are you worried about? Yes, you're going to have tribulations, but I've overcome the world. The disciples don't see the storm that way, though. They begin to worry. They begin to have fear. Verse 38, and they woke him and said, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Here the disciples make two errors. The first is they wrongly assume that since they're in danger, Jesus is in danger as well. Let me tell you, saints, when you're in a storm and you're going crazy, God's not going crazy with you.
Amen.
When you're in a storm and you're in danger, God's not in danger. But they assume that Jesus is in danger. And how do we know that? Because it says we. We are perishing, meaning Jesus, us, and you are going to die. And saints of God, I don't know the mind of Christ and all of what was said, or rather what Christ was thinking at that moment. But if I could speculate what Jesus was saying to himself when they said that, he probably was saying, do you really think, after all that you have seen me do up to this point, after me being born of a virgin, after me coming down from heaven, that I'm going to die on a boat? Do you really think that I'm going to die today on a boat with you? You see, church, disciples didn't know that when Jesus said, let's go over to the other side, that Jesus had some appointments to make. You see, disciples didn't know when Christ said, let's go over to the other side, that there were some people and some things waiting for him on the other side. The disciples didn't know that there was a daughter that needs to be raised on the other side. They didn't know, saints of God, that there's a blind man that needs to see again on the other side. They didn't know, saints of God, that there's a deaf and mute man that needs to hear and speak again on the other side. They didn't know that there's 5,000 that needs to be fed on the other side, and they didn't know that there's a cross waiting for Christ on the other side. That's the first error of the disciples. They assume that since they're going to die, Christ is going to die. Here's the second error. They interpreted Christ sleeping as Jesus didn't care about them. You see, we read Christ sleeping, and we see it as a proof text for Christ's humanity. Disciples didn't read it that way. They didn't interpret it as, oh, Jesus showing here us his true humanity. No, no, no. They interpreted it as, Jesus doesn't care about my life. Jesus brought us out here to die. Again, church, if I can go into the mind of Christ and speculate, he might have said to himself, I don't care about you. I came from heaven because I care about you. I chose you because I care about you. Soon I'm going to die for you because I care about you. And soon I'm going to raise for you because I care about you. But church, we can fall into this error as well, because we can make a mistake by thinking that just because God allowed a storm to come our way, that God doesn't care about me. Just because God has allowed some waves to rock our boat, that God doesn't care about me. But church, if you've been walking with me to the book of Exodus, and if there is one thing that we've learned about our God, is that he surely, most assuredly, is concerned for his people. Amen. That God does care about his people, church. And saints of God, how we know sometimes that God cares about us is when he allows a storm to come our way. That was too quiet. Let me say it one more time. How we know that God cares about us is when God allows a storm to come our way. Because church, storms are not meant to kill us. Storms are not meant to weaken us. Storms are meant to strengthen us. Storms are not meant to bury us. Storms are meant to grow us. Isn't this what St. Paul says in Romans 5? But we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Isn't this what St. James says in James 1? Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And church, if you can look back on your life, can't you thank God that some of the storms have come your way? If you really look back on your life, saints of God, can't you praise God for some storms that have entered your life? Can't you thank God for those bad days? Because those bad days made you stronger. Can't you thank God for those lonely nights? Because those lonely nights made you lean on the Lord like you never have before. Can't you thank God for those sufferings? Because they produced endurance and character. Can't you thank God for those trials of various kinds? Because they produced steadfastness. Can't you thank God for that broken heart? Can't you thank God for that person talking behind you behind your back? Can't you thank God for that person walking out of your life? Can't you thank God that they fired you, that you got laid off? Saints of God, we thank God for the storms because we came out of the storm better than we went into the storm. If it wasn't for those storms, we wouldn't be who we are today.
Amen.
Saints of God, it is these storms of life that we are to thank God for. Those storms of life, saints of God, that we are to praise the Lord for.
Amen.
I look back and I praise the Lord for those storms. I praise the Lord for those tears. I praise the Lord for that stress. I praise the Lord for those headaches. But here, we see that there is one thing, though, that the disciples did get right. You know, disciples are not completely dumb. There's something that they got right. Not everything they got was wrong, church. Do you want to know what that right thing was? That right thing was this. While in a storm, they remembered who was on the boat. While on a storm and in a storm, they remembered who was on the boat. That is to say, church, although they felt the wind, although they saw the waves, although they touched the water, although they might have felt some fear, they remembered one thing, and saints of God, you remember this one thing. We got Jesus on the boat.
Amen.
On Wednesday, Lord help me say this without crying. On Wednesday, my son Malachi had to get some work done on his teeth. He now looks like those celebrities where they get those veneers. After church, ask him to smile. He'll show you his new teeth. But on Wednesday, he had to get some work done, his two front teeth. He's only 3 years old. So a child that young, they put him on a board and they have to strap them as tight as they can so they don't move. They put a strap on his wrists. They put a strap over his arms. And then they put another strap over his whole body. My son literally looked like a mummy during this whole process. Kai didn't cry. Not one time. But as soon as he felt the first shot go into his gums, he began to scream. And as soon as he felt the second shot, the screams got louder. And during a little bit of that process, he cried a little bit more. And he cried a little bit more. And in his mind, he's probably thinking, Daddy doesn't care about me. In his mind, he's probably thinking, the person who I saw telling me everything is going to be okay, I no longer see. He's probably thinking, the voice that I once heard from my daddy to reassure me that everything is okay, I can no longer hear. The hand that I once felt as he was caressing my hair and telling me, you're going to be fine, boy. Be strong. I no longer feel. But saints of God, what Kai didn't know is that his daddy was in the room with him. And what Kai didn't know is that his daddy was sitting right next to the dentist watching him the whole time. Saints of God, let me tell you that when you're in a storm, the waves may look high. The waters may begin to flood the boat. The winds may knock you off your feet, and you may feel like God is not there, but saints of God, never fear, never worry, because you got Jesus on the boat with you.
Amen.
You ain't gotta worry, saints. You ain't gotta worry. Jesus on the boat with you. and saying to God, I'd rather take a sleeping Jesus on my boat than a whole army that's awake on my boat.
Yeah.
Give me a sleeping Jesus on my boat than everyone in the world that's awake, and I'll be okay. Jesus is with you, saints. Oh, hear me. Because the pressures of life are coming. The pressures of life are just 1 mile second away. Remember that Christ is on the boat with you. You ain't on that boat alone. So the disciples rush and tell Jesus, we are dying, don't you care? And I love how verse 39 begins. And he got up. Oh, that preaches, does it not? And he got up. I'm just going to preach it real quick. That's not the first time Christ will get up. This is not the first time Christ will get up. Christ will get up one time, one more time. And when he gets up this second time, he will not lay back down. He gonna sit at the right hand of the Father. And he gonna make intercession until all his elect come home to be with him. Saints of God, he got up. And notice, saints of God, what woke Jesus up? If you have a Bible, look at your Bible. What woke the Lord up? Notice, it wasn't the water filling the boat that woke him up. And it wasn't the wind that woke him up. It wasn't the boat rocking that woke him up. No, it was the cry of his people that woke Jesus up. Meaning, saints of God, the disciples were able to do what the storms weren't able to do. The cries of Christ's people were able to do what creation itself could not do. It woke the Lord up. And disciples, they asked the Lord, Lord, do you not care about us? And here's the answer that the Lord gives. And he got up. He got up. Oh, as one theologian says, the one that was asleep as man gets up as God. Oh, he gets up. He woke up and he rebuked the wind. And he said to the sea, hush, be still. And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. Throughout the history of man, there have been many advances and technological breakthroughs. We learn that we can split an atom. We learn that we can make a bomb that can wipe out an entire village. Saints of God, we found many cures for many diseases. But church, there is one thing that we have yet to discover. There is one thing that we have yet to figure out. And it's, how can one control a storm? The one thing we have yet to figure out is how to calm a storm. And saints of God, I'm not talking about just the weather, but I'm talking about when the pressures mount. I'm talking about when life begins to weigh on you. Some people take medication. That may help. Some people have to see a therapist. That may help. Some people turn to drugs and other vices to deal with their worries and their storms. And that, saints of God, will only help for a short amount of time. But saints of God, in the church that, or rather in the day that we are living in today, in 2024, let me tell you that the best and still the greatest remedy for a storm is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is still the one who controls and can calm any storm. And church, if Christ can control a storm, if Christ can put a muzzle on the wind and the waves and the sea, if Christ can tell the winds and the waves and the sea to shut up and never speak again, then saints of God, let me ask you a question. What is it in your life that Christ can't fix? If Christ can calm a storm, if he can still the waters, what is it in your life that Jesus Christ can't still? Saints of God, can he provide for you a job? Can he fix your marriage? Can he save your loved one? Can he heal your hurt? Can he reach your kids? Church, let me remind you that there is nothing in your life that is too hard for the Lord. There is no burden Jesus cannot lift. There is no door Christ cannot open. There is no enemy Christ cannot defeat. There is no need Jesus cannot meet. There is no problem Christ cannot solve. There is no sickness Christ can't heal. And saints of God, there is no sin that Christ can't forgive. Saints of God, let me ask you, if you look back on your life, can't you say praise the Lord for some waters that he has stilled? Can't you thank the Lord for some waves that he told us, shut up? Can't you thank the Lord for some winds that he put a muzzle on? Oh, surely you can. Surely you can, saints of God. What was once a great storm is now a great calm. Jesus calms the storm. But then he turns to his disciples. And he says, why are you afraid? Do you not have faith? Now, church, follow me here. I'm almost done. Follow me here. Doesn't verse 39 and verse 40 seem out of place? It seems weird. Doesn't verse 39 and verse 40 seem out of place? Meaning, shouldn't verse 40 be where verse 39 is at? Because, saints of God, you would think that once the disciples woke Jesus up, the first thing Jesus would do was calm the disciples and then talk to the wind and the waves and the sea. Because if I'm in some trouble, I want Jesus to calm me first. Okay, now fix my problem. But no, rather, Jesus gets up and he talks to the sea before he talks to his disciples. Now, why is that? Church, I've been wrestling with this all week. Why did Christ talk to the sea before he talked to his disciples? And on Saturday night, I finally got the answer. That's how it works. I finally got the answer. Saints of God, here's the answer. Jesus talks to the storm before he talks to the disciples because he already talked to his disciples. That's the answer. Jesus talks to the storm before he talks to his disciples because he already talked to his disciples. He already told his disciples before they even got in the boat, let's go over to the other side. Meaning, church, Jesus already confirmed their destination before they set sailed. Before they even got in the boat, Jesus said, we're going to go and make it to the other side. And so as we come to verse 40, when Jesus rebukes them for their lack of faith, he's essentially saying, why are you so afraid of the storm? When I already told you before we got in the boat, before a storm even took place, that we're going to make it on the other side. I didn't give you the itinerary. I didn't give you all the specifics, but I did tell you one thing. We're going to make it to the other side. And church, I came here today to ask you the same question Christ asked his disciples. Through a storm and a storm, why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid, congregation? What do you have to be fearful of? When God has already said in Isaiah 54, no weapon formed against me shall succeed. Why are you so afraid? When God has already said in his word in Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Saints of God, why should you fear when God has already said in Psalm 118, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. And here's my favorite part. What can man do? What can man do? You see, church, we gotta stop focusing on the specifics. We gotta stop focusing on the itinerary. We gotta start focusing on the destination. Rest your ease and worry, saints of God, on the Lord and say, no matter what happens in between, I know what's gonna happen at the end. I'm gonna make it. I'm gonna reach my goal. Saints of God, your destination is fixed. Don't ever let someone lie to you. No matter how bad it looks, your destination is confirmed, saints of God. You may have some turbulence along the way. It may get rocky and shaky along the way. But saints of God, please hear me today. You're gonna make it. You will make it. Jesus rebukes these men for their lack of faith. And church, there's a question I ask myself while studying this verse, and it's this. But why did Jesus lead these men in the boat in the first place? Why would he do such a thing? And here, saints, in verse 40, we find a clue that maybe Jesus fell asleep on the boat in order to wake the disciples up. You know, saints of God, you may think that Christ is asleep during your storm, but really you might be the one asleep. You might think that Christ is asleep during your storm, but really it's you're the one that needs to wake up. Saints of God, Jesus teaches his disciples a lesson, and the lesson is this. Trust in me. Trust in me. Trust in the Lord. You remember that many of Christ's disciples, they were fishermen. They were men of the sea. They knew the water like the back of their hand. Jesus is just a carpenter from Nazareth. What does he know? But saints of God, maybe Jesus falls asleep on the boat in order to teach his disciples that no matter how strong you are, no matter how smart you are, saints of God, there are some waves that you can't control. That there are some winds that you can't calm down. That there is some water that you can't get out of your boat. And sometimes, church, what we fail to do on the shore, who we fail to acknowledge on the shore, God will teach us in the sea. While you're on the shore, saints of God, hear me now. Acknowledge the Lord. While you're on the shore, saints of God, trust in the Lord now. So he doesn't have to teach you on the sea. They came. And they were very afraid. And they said to one another, who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? This is my favorite part of the text. Who then is this? Who then is this? This question, saints of God, is flooded all throughout the New Testament. The Pharisees all throughout the ministry of Jesus asked this question, who then is this? The crowds, after seeing the miracles and hearing him preach, asked this question, who then is this? We learned last week of this man named Nicodemus comes to Christ by night because he asked this question, who then is this? Even in 2024, people are still asking this question, who then is this? Well, saints of God, if you don't mind, can I talk to you a little bit and introduce to you this man they named Jesus Christ? Can I speak to you a little bit about this one from Galilee? About this one from Nazareth? Saints of God, in Genesis, he's the seed of the woman. In Exodus, he's the greater redeemer. In Leviticus, he's the greater sacrifice. In Deuteronomy, he's the obedient son. In Joshua, he's the unseen Lord of hosts. In Judges, he's the standard bearer. In Ruth, he's the kinsman redeemer. In Kings and Chronicles, he's the ruler of Ar. In Jonah, he's another chance. In Jeremiah, he's the balm in Gilead. In Isaiah, he's the promised child. In Ezekiel, he's the wheel in the middle of a wheel. In the book of Psalms, when you get to chapter 150, what can you say other than he's my all in all? Oh, saints of God, do you know this Jesus? He's Matthew's king. He's Mark's suffering servant. He's Luke's great physician. He's John's word made flesh. He's David's music. He's Solomon's wisdom. He's Noah's ark. He's Abraham's sacrifice. He's Gideon's fleece. Saints of God, he's God's only son. He's Mary's virgin child. He's he who knew no sin. He was living, he was dead, but behold, he lives forevermore. Saints of God, he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. He is our judge and he is coming soon. Saints of God, have you met this Jesus Christ? He's a rock in a weary land. Saints of God, he's shelter when time of storm. He's bridge over troubled water. He's a way when there is no way. He's a friend when you're friendless. He's bread when you're hungry. He's water when you're thirsty. He's courage when you fear. He's peace when you're confused. Sin couldn't tempt him. Death couldn't defeat him. The Pharisees couldn't confuse him. Saints of God, government can't counsel him. New age can't replace him. And the devil cannot hold him. Saints of God, do you know Jesus? This is he who calmed the storm. This is he, saints of God, who will one day be arrested in Gethsemane. He will go up Golgotha's hill. He will die, but saints of God, early Sunday morning, he will rise. And he will come back soon. Saints of God, this is Jesus Christ. But saints of God, this is not even the best part of the whole story. In fact, I didn't even come today to preach to you chapter 4. Because the best part of the story, saints of God, is not found in chapter 4. But the best part of the story is found in chapter 5. Because chapter 5, verse 1 begins like this. And they made it to the other side. Saints of God, let me tell you, you're going to make it to the other side. No matter what storm you go through, You're going to make it
Amen.
To the other side. Saints of God,
Amen.
May the Lord treat you and do you very well.
Amen.
Be encouraged this morning.
Amen.
You're going to make it to the other side.
Amen.
And I'll see you there.
Amen.
Let's pray.